Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free, no strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
It's Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
So the big news from yesterday is that we're back down to a gathering limit of 15 people here in Calgary.
Yep.
Any... what they call mixing and mingling type gathering?
No mixing or mingling.
Wedding and funeral services are exempt. Yeah. Receptions are not.
Not allowed.
And religious services are exempt. Restaurants are still allowed to operate as they have been. It's just basically, it sounds like
social gatherings.
Parties.
Yeah, parties.
So I'm sure this coming right before Halloween is no coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will probably put the brakes on, well, hopefully, any big Halloween parties that were going to happen this weekend.
Yeah.
Try to get our cases back down. And they said they're going to revisit this all in 1 month, which I think we talked about restrictions at length yesterday, but I think this is a pretty good way to go about it. You're not harming businesses. People can still be social. We just can't gather in really big groups.
Yes.
So
I just hope people listen, because, of course, if that doesn't work and our numbers still continue to go up, then those restrictions will become stricter, right?
So. Yeah.
Let's make that not be the case.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Beckler, I bought some of these seaweed packs yesterday.
You can go ahead and get those things away, the hell away from me.
You know,
Oh my God. I tried. Those are the seaweed chips, right?
Yes.
The really thin, filmy ones?
Mm-hmm.
I tried one of those once, and I would say it's the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Well, this is what I was thinking. Like, I actually don't mind the taste of this, shockingly, but I was thinking, and I was like, this is the furthest thing from real food that we actually have. Like, even you just look at them, like, it looks like tissue paper. You know, like, look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Humans aren't supposed to eat that.
And it tastes...
fish eat
it
that.
It tastes like sea urchin. Like...
how do you...
it literally tastes like... food from the sea.
I worked with a guy mm-hmm. who loved potato chips, but he was trying to go on a diet and didn't want to eat so many chips.
Mm-hmm.
So he was looking for an alternative, and he brought in these seaweed chips.
Yeah.
And I tried a bite.
Yeah.
That was 9 years ago, and I can still taste it.
I
can still taste it.
Well, as I was eating this yesterday, all I thought of is, like, there is no way Beckler could stomach this. Like, this is the furthest from anything that he would ever possibly be able to.
I see people leaving Costco with big boxes of them, and I'm like, what are you doing to yourself? You know there's good food here.
Also, we're a little too liberal when it comes to the word chip. Like, you're calling this a chip. Luckily, this one doesn't. It's called roasted seaweed, but some of them are actually called chips.
Yeah.
That is not a chip, okay? A chip should taste good, and this really just tastes like salt.
If I went to someone's house for a get-together, and they put out a bowl of seaweed chips, we're leaving. Come on, McKenna, we're leaving.
That's what I seriously mean. Like, it's like this. It's a dried leaf. It probably tastes the exact same, in fact.
I'm surprised I haven't even smelled it yet that you've opened it up, because
I know.
I walked into the daycare at the gym one time, and I was like, someone's got seaweed chips in here.
Yeah,
I'll be outside.
It's actually leaking some sort of green goo right now. This is what we should start marketing, okay? If we want to do the next health trend, because that's why people eat this. They're like, it's really healthy. It's natural. It's from the sea. What about dried leaves?
Food.
What about this?
I'd take the leaf over the seaweed chip.
I'm not even lying.
Given the choice.
If I put salt on this, it would taste the exact same.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So a friend of ours, Shauna, a guy who used to work at the station here, actually reached out and asked if I would like to participate in Movember with him.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually battling testicular cancer right now. So I was like, well, I will absolutely make a financial donation to your team.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know if I can pull off the mustache. I had participated in Movember once, and it was probably 10 or 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good look for me. I had to adjust for men the old mustache. I think I have more facial hair now than I did then.
I'm not going to lie, just right now, the way your mic is kind of hitting your mouth, I'm envisioning you with a mustache. And
what do you think? Do you like it? Do you like what you see? Drink it in. What do you think?
Well, it's for a good cause.
That's the fallback in November, right? If it looks terrible on you, well, it's...
I mean, to be honest, there are quite a few people who don't have like a great mustache in November. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm also confused about the rules. Like I remember when Movember first started, because I think it started in Australia, right? And yeah. When it first made its way here, I was kind of under the impression that you had to start clean shaven.
Yeah.
And then throughout the month of November, you grow your mustache.
Well, that's how you have to do it.
But I'm already seeing like guys take a run at it now. Like, there are lots of mustaches out there right now in preparation
I see that, but are they doing that and then they're going to shave it on the first of the month, though? You know, like, are they just kind of gearing up for it and then they'll shave it, or?
I don't think so. I think November 1st, you're going to see lots of mustaches out there.
That seems weird to me. The point is that you have to grow a silly mustache.
But then you get to keep your mustache for the whole month.
I guess so. Then you have it the whole time.
Yeah. Huh. It's like I have a bit of a beard right now. Longer than stubble, but shorter than a beard, perhaps. So I could kind of take a run at it. And also what style to go with.
You should do the goatee.
No.
I just pictured
the Kid Rock.
Oh man, yeah. Just
they call it a circle beard.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh please.
Maybe I'll go handlebars.
Oh, well. It's gonna be a fun month.
I'd go full Fu Manchu if I could.
How's your wife feel about this?
Same as you. It's for a good cause.
Yep.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I've been watching that Formula One series, Drive to Survive, on Netflix.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
It's really good.
Are you on season one?
No, I just finished season two. It's awesome.
That's the show that got me into the sport.
I know, and
I've watched the last two seasons of Formula One now because of that. So.
Well, now I want to record the races and watch.
Yeah, it's fun. It's lots of fun.
Now that you're invested, you know all the drivers. But at one point, the drivers were practicing with a driving simulator, which they do quite often, obviously. But one of the drivers does the entire course with his eyes closed.
Just to learn all the turns and...
And I had no idea that those drivers now had the technology to... do the exact course with every single turn, just like they would be live in the actual race, and do it on a simulator so that they could practice.
I think the simulators are fairly advanced.
It's insane.
And like, yeah, the mechanics of the vehicle are very similar. And
I was going to say, they can make it so that it feels like you're in your actual car. Everything is the same. The turns are the same down to it. I had no clue.
You know, I think a lot of those guys even play the Formula One video game.
Yeah.
Which I haven't played, but I know there are people who will build their own sort of kind of cheap simulator where you have like a racing wheel.
Yep.
And some of those racing wheels I think are pretty good. Like they actually have like response, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll just build themselves like a seat with pedals and everything. So it kind of feels like, you know, with a big enough TV, it kind of feels like you're racing the car, which would be so much fun.
It's so nuts. And also that the video games have become that advanced that they're pretty accurate and true to the courses as well. Like, all of that's nuts to me. But what it got me thinking about is, I wonder if it's going to be like that with other sports down the line, where instead of practicing in real life, you'll be practicing with a simulator or with VR. And I'm thinking more, let's say a sport like football, where they're already limiting practices right now because of the fear of concussions in practice and even physical... anything within practice. Do you think down the line, maybe a simulator or a VR type practice might be a better option? Because then, of course, those things can quit before you actually get injured, but maybe you could still run passes or do whatever.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I think like football teams will just scale back the amount of contact they allow in practice.
Which they already have.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember when we were growing up, we did full contact drills and guys would get hurt. And I was thinking, why are we getting hurt here at practice?
Like, right?
You can run the plays. You just don't have to light anybody up on it.
Yeah.
But I think that the reason that the simulators are so popular in Formula One is because it's so expensive to get the vehicles out there and to race on an actual course.
Yeah, I'd never.
And you got to think it's such a global sport. So for them to load up, you know, their cars and their engineers and their mechanics and basically the entire garage that they take with them to a race costs what? Millions of dollars.
Yep.
And you got to fly across the world from Asia to South America to North America to race on these tracks. So I think the simulator is, you know, the next best option for them. That's cheaper.
Yeah.
So,
and that makes total sense. And obviously doing a football practice is not quite as expensive.
Cost anything, right?
It was more the safety aspect for me, just because we continue to escalate what we do to try and, you know, help with safety. It's like, I wonder if somebody would make that argument, be like, oh, but VR, like, way safer. You know, it's way safer.
I wonder if that factors into it at all, because you're right, like, auto racing is a dangerous sport.
Yeah.
So your drivers aren't quite as much at risk and can still you know, learn the tracks, get the course or get the experience.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The fact of being able to do a full course with your eyes closed like that, I was like, holy.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
There was a hilarious headline from the satirical news organization, The Hard Times, yesterday.
Yeah.
Study reveals men 90% more likely to believe in astrology if you're hot.
We've talked about this before. How it is probably true that guys may let on to be into astrology when
oh,
maybe
yeah,
they're not for sure.
That's why we're getting along so well.
I'm a Pisces. Oh,
you're a Capricorn. I mean, it's not just women that believe in astrology. There's plenty of guys that do too. But yeah. I've said before on the show, I would have a difficult time in the dating game right now because there seems to be a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, you could automatically rule out anybody who puts their star sign in there. In their dating profile, mm-hmm. at least I would.
But as you said, you're right. It's a good way to see what guys are into it, I suppose.
And the pool starts to dwindle, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I wonder how many guys do a lot of research on that just to make sure they know. You know, yeah, I'm into that too. I'm this, and then,
it's not something I could pretend. No matter how hot she was, mm-hmm. I don't think I could do that.
Well,
I'm in an Ursa Major.
What does that mean?
It's another constellation.
Oh.
But it's not in the zodiac.
That's pretty funny, actually. Good joke.
But who? Thank you.
You should say.
Thanks.
Good joke.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Groupon popped up yesterday for Rosetta Stone.
The language program.
And I was thinking about this. Do you know anyone who actually has successfully learned another language?
You mean through a program like that and not from like studying the language?
Yes, or going abroad and living there and being in that environment.
No, and I know a few people who have tried.
I know a lot of people who have said, I'm going to learn a new language. A lot of people at one point have said to me, I'm going to learn this like through a program or whatever. I'm going to take... And no one has ever successfully done it, I don't think.
Actually, one friend of mine said he was trying to learn a bit of German through that.
Okay.
And he said it was coming along and I haven't talked to him in a while, so I don't know.
Find the update for me.
Okay. See how his Germans, Germans going? Yeah, because I know lots of people who are like, oh, I'm learning Japanese.
Tons.
And then you don't hear about it again.
it's one of those businesses.
Hey, how's that Japanese
right,
coming?
Right, guys? Oh, I got busy. I'll get right back in. It's fine. It's good. But it's kind of one of those businesses that seems to thrive off failure, as much as I hate to say. There are just certain industries, like gyms, are kind of like that, right? Where they have kind of a profit system.
For sure.
Based on people who get those memberships with the good intention of going, but who don't actually show up.
If everyone who has a gym membership was a heavy gym user, gyms wouldn't be very profitable, would they? They're kind of relying on people who buy a membership and forget about it or lose motivation or only come every so often.
Yeah,
so,
and I don't mean that in a negative. It's just the way that the gym thing works. Like, everybody really wants to go and it's really in their head to go. And mm-hmm. so they buy the memberships and then they just never go. And these kind of language programs, I sometimes think are kind of similar. Like, no, just buy. You can learn a new language. It's for cheap. Just, dude, here, go. And you're like, yes, I will learn a new language this year. And then about a week into it, you're like, too busy.
I wonder if you really commit to it, if it'll work.
I'm sure it would.
But it's just that people don't.
No one.
They lack a bit of the discipline.
No one actually will fully commit. I think that's the problem.
And I also think it's one of those things that you start talking about before you've actually learned much.
Because it sounds good. That's why. It's impressive. Oh, you're learning a second language or third language? Oh, my God.
What a go-getter.
Yeah,
what an ambitious young person.
One day later, let's go have some beer. I don't want to learn this.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
A friend of the show, Catherine, messaged us and said that she's on a 65-day streak on Duolingo trying to learn Spanish.
Which is awesome.
She said she's got to the point where she could order food and maybe get around a little better in Spanish-speaking countries. And
that's good.
I didn't know it works like that, where you kind of do a little bit of work each day. But she said that app is great because it's like... there's pictures and like native speakers who show you how to pronounce it, and it's almost like a bit of a game.
Yeah, which is awesome. And yeah, I told her to keep us posted, see if she keeps up on it for a bit longer.
If you really commit, I could see it. I mean, that's short of moving to a place.
Yeah.
I mean, that is kind of how you learn a language, don't you?
It's true, but you do have to commit, and that's what a lot of people don't do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said many immigrants to Canada have mentioned that these apps have helped them learn the language, and I could see that, and obviously it also helps when you're
immersed in a culture that's speaking the language.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, right? And of course, you're right. That would be good for assistance. That would be where these would benefit more, I think, when you already live in a place. But
how many times have you heard someone say that they learned how to speak a language from watching TV shows in that language? I don't know how you could do that.
Yeah.
Like, I would just sit there and have no idea what's going on until the end of time.
It's as you know basics, it starts to help. Like, even, I was telling you, I've been listening to some French music. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious because as you listen further and further, you start to piece together what they're actually saying, because I know words, like, and I used to speak French better than I can now, but it does help because you start to remember what those words mean and you put it together kind of in the sequence of words and go, oh, this makes sense. Yeah.
You have a bit of context around it.
And exactly. Yeah.
You know what word is it? Word is the same in English and French? Joe Biden.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Credit cards, line of credit, car loans, personal loans. We all have debt, and House of Cars wants to wipe it away. Now until January 15th, enter to win the Wipe Your Debt contest at houseofcarscalgary.com. House of Cars, Alberta's top choice dealer 5 years in a row. Often imitated, never duplicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
We get emailed songs all the time from bands and record labels. And
we do.
What are called radio trackers, who a band will hire to like push their music out to the radio and try to get it played.
Yeah.
And I'd listened to almost none of them because it's not my decision, so
it's not my job. I'm like, I have zero control, so I know. Maybe we should listen to more, but we don't.
Matt Berry in the music department decide
he is
what makes
the master of music.
But every once in a while, one will jump out, and I'm like, oh, I got to hear that one. And this is one of those songs. This is from a French dance producer named Dombrance.
Ooh, Dombrance.
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 From the album Make America Dance Again.
Oh, yes.
And the song is called Biden. Ready?
Okay.
I'm just going to give this. Oh, what's happening there? It starts like this. Let's jump ahead.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's dancey.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's dancey.
And then.
Oh, yeah. It's escalating.
Okay, here's the best part. Are you ready?
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the lyrics.
Biden.
Here it comes again.
Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
Oh, wow.
And that's all the lyrics that are in that song. So.
That's it. Just Joe Biden. Somebody spent a lot of time on that.
And I don't know what it is about the saxophone that made this person think of Biden or what that has to.
There's a lot going on there. It's a lot.
It sounds like a poor man's M83.
It does
a little
bit.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Biden will use that as a campaign song.
That's what I was wondering. Is that why they did it? Like, I was trying to, okay, maybe he'll put that, every time he walks on stage, that starts playing.
And you can ask your, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
You can ask your American friends if they're voting for Trump or Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Biden.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You know what one thing is that I think the city has killed it at? Lights. A ton of buildings downtown have these amazing lights on top, and our bridges are lit up in awesome colors, and we have these really cool light displays in the underpasses, and even some of the condo buildings, the newer ones, I find have a little flash of light at the top.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't noticed, but there's some new overpasses down on McLeod that light up.
Yeah.
I drove past that the other day. I was like, oh, that's cool. I hadn't seen that before.
When you drive into the city at night and you see kind of all the different lights as you're heading in, it's awesome.
Yeah, and in this part of the world, our winters are so dark and stuff that it really does brighten things up. I love it.
Yeah.
Was the Calgary Tower the first to get lights?
That's a damn good question.
Because, even looking downtown right now, like, obviously the tower is lit up, and then Brookfield Place has that blue crown at the top.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Telus Sky light display is incredible now.
Yeah, and it went live last weekend.
Yeah, and I saw some of the videos. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
And then even Manulife, the Manulife building on 5th, I believe it is, that it's got a cool light feature at the top. Yeah, I love it.
Like the bridges, the way that they like change in lights and we change the colors of them and stuff, like it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's really something that, as you said, it's fairly simple. It's not something that costs a lot of money to do, but it really does add to the vibe of the city. It makes it, kind of nice and welcoming, and something about it like makes me happy.
Have you seen any of those permanent LED strips that people have on their houses? Like, they're like Christmas lights, but they're permanent and they can be programmed. And
no,
I think there are a few companies in town that do them, and they're so cool. Like, they're so much more vibrant than just your regular Christmas lights. And I talked to one person near my house who has them, and they, I think they said they spent about $4,000 on them. But
they're for good.
They're forever, and they look awesome.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when we when this all kind of started, people were saying, like, you should put on your Christmas lights early just to, like, light up the neighborhood a bit. And I'm like, I don't actually mind that idea. Like, just having year-round Christmas lights even, you know, you can do it in a tasteful way. Sometimes they can get a bit obnoxious. I'm not talking about the full-out display, perhaps, but just some little lights to make it happier out there.
We even have those patio lights that everybody has from Costco this year. You know, the ones with the really warm kind of bulb. Yeah, and we just left them on all year.
I know.
They're so nice.
They are.
When I lived in Edmonton, the city suggested, because in Edmonton, winter is really dark and cold.
Yeah.
Really dark and cold. And the city is like, what if we just all left our Christmas lights on this year? And people are like, well, are you going to pay the power bill for us then? It was like, okay, well then don't participate.
Yes.
This is just a suggestion.
My apologies.
If you can afford it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Apparently somebody stole the bobsled from Cool Runnings that was hanging outside of Ranchman's yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I saw that story.
What exactly do you expect to do with that? I always laugh at those types of thefts because you can't sell it. Like, you're not taking that because it's something that you're like, oh, we could make money with this. You know?
You can't put it on Kijiji or Facebook Marketplace because everyone's going to be like, there it is.
It's one of a kind. Like, everyone will know. It's like, well, this is not just a generic that clearly, oh, here it is. What, do you just want to bring it to your house to have as your own private collection?
I think it must be for a private collection or even just like for a joke for someone where it's like, hey, you know, Dave, he's got the Jamaican bobsled in his basement.
You can't even you can't have parties. People will see it. Like someone, it's going to get back that you are the one who stole the bobsled.
Is that the Cool Runnings bobsled? No, that's a replica. Anyway.
Yeah. Moving on. It's just the strangest thing to me. I'm just like, is someone, was it just a drunken thing? But you need more than one person. It's too heavy to carry on your own. So clearly it was an organized attempt, or at least a few drunk people decided it was a good idea to try and steal that. But you need tools.
Point. What did John Candy say in the movie? He said how much it weighed.
Well,
600 pounds? Is that what it was?
Okay, so
400 pounds? I forget.
I mean, I don't think it's the full bobsled, so maybe a little bit less, but it's still, it would have taken planning, you'd think. So someone looked at it and was like, guys, we should take that.
For sure.
Why?
You need a truck. You need a few people. You probably need some tools to get it off the wall.
I'm so confused.
It's almost like thefts of very famous pieces of art.
Yeah.
And in that case, maybe there is some kind of like underground ring.
Maybe.
Where you can buy stolen art, but...
Yeah, and for something that's that amount of money, you're right. Maybe there is something that's going on with that.
Yeah, maybe there are, like, you know, drug lords or something around the world that want to have those pieces in their collection. Mm. But I don't think it's quite the same for Jamaican bobsled.
There are bobsled lords that just
bobsled
want that.
Bobsled memorabilia. I don't think...
Get it for me.
There would be a huge...
underground market
black for market
bobsleds.
For stolen bobsleds.
I probably not. No.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So as winter is approaching, restaurants and bars are trying to figure out ways to kind of safely provide seating for patrons, right? Mm-hmm. Because in the summer, everybody made great use of their outdoor space. And as the weather gets a bit cooler, they're trying to figure out ways to maybe be able to use that again, you know, to keep people so that they're still safe and they have enough extra seating and everything. And so there's the suggestion of maybe some year-round patios.
Yeah, with like heat lamps and even there's a guy in Toronto who's trying to sell those bubbles.
Yeah.
There's like clear domes that you could put out on a patio.
That's just it.
Yeah.
And not everybody is sold on that idea. A lot of people are like, it's going to be way too cold. I'm not sitting outside. But I was thinking, I was like, we're Canadian. Like, we can manage that.
It would suck for the servers having to come and go inside, outside, because they're going to overheat inside and freeze when they're outside.
You're right.
Unless you had somebody who was kind of dedicated to the patio, and then they worked in shifts. I don't know. Maybe businesses can find a way around that, but I mean, I don't hate the idea of being out on a patio in the winter. We get some really nice days in the winter here. So.
I agree. And I think that maybe to sell everybody on that idea further, you and I can help.
We certainly can.
We can make the patio
sexy. Ooh, should we eat outside or in? Ooh.
Ooh, that's a huge deck. Oh, and you've got wood. And look at that overhang.
This is a good railing. Oh, I like
a good
railing.
And what about
railing.
The railing as well? Damn it! I always liked a good terrace.
terrace. That is. Ooh.
I should have brought a sweater. I'm poking right through this shirt. Ooh.
It's a bit nipply out, but nothing that a good bit of body heat can't help.
Yeah. Ooh.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.